Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Thursday, the opening day of the Masters. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Jordan Spieth has just tied for the lead. And he's only played 10 holes. He's 5 under par. You want to talk about a world of talent. He's 21 years old. Now, here's one of the advantages the pros have that you and I don't have. Now, part of this is obviously their talent, because there's no way that any of us out there really realistically would feel like we have any shot of getting to the par 5 eighth in two shots. So let's be fair. Tiger Woods can. But this is where you get a little bit of help, because it's a golf tournament. He hit the ball way past on his second shot. He hit so far, but he hit the grandstand. And the grandstand kept it in play, and he ends up getting a drop. Who knows how far past it would have gone?
See, I've always thought that, too. If I had a gallery following me, I'd be able to keep the ball within the fairway as well. Now, no gallery would follow me. That's the problem. But yeah, there is something to be said about that. You're right.
I'm trying to think right now about gallery. You know, you always tell me that I don't get nervous. I can tell you one time without question I was nervous.
Oh, brother.
Seriously. I was playing in a golf tournament, and there was a gallery. And I'd say there were probably maybe 150, 200 people around the first tee at this tournament. It was just a charity event. But they had 150 to 200 people. And I thought to myself, oh, man. I hope you hit the ball.
Please hit it solid. Please hit it solid.
Don't dub it. Don't duck hook it, whatever. I drove it about 260 down the left side of the fairway. They tell you to keep your head down. I'm telling you right now, that head did not come up at all.
I never saw the ball.
I never saw it. I leaned over to one of my playing partners. I said, exactly where did I hit it? He goes, oh, you're in great shape. We probably will use that one. I'm like, oh, thank you, God. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you. I owe you. They pass around a little plate. I got some action coming your way. That's the one time I can remember. And they tell you, keep your head down. I can tell you right now, this baby was locked on the ball.
Not going to look. Not going to look.
And I didn't. Oh my God.
You're like, thank you.
That's what I said. I mean, there will be something extra in the till. Yes. Yes.
Now, if that were me, it would be, where'd it go? Right in the lumberyard, Danny.
And this is, but. You know, for one thing, we're not going to be there in two. So there's a check and a balance out of this. Jordan Spieth, 5 under, tee shot at 11. 21 years old. Can you imagine that?
Wow. Leading the Masters at any point just is something it would be hard to imagine.
21, I was just hoping to find the Shields building. Okay, got that one. Let alone leading the Masters. So, that's great. it really is the dominant story. You know, I've talked a little bit about Mark Cuban, what he said about college basketball. You know, there's some areas that college basketball could improve. I've touched on that. I've talked about that a lot this week, about where they can improve the game. Take the shot clock from 35 to 30. That's one. I mean, if not, I mean, I wouldn't even be opposed to 25 instead of 24. No, but they got to speed the thing up. And Woods, by the way, did birdie. And he's back to even par at 8. So he made, and he, you know, he had not chipped well. He had a really nice chip to within about 3.5-4 feet of the hole and then knocked in the birdie putt. So he's back to even. When you look at, I talked about the game that, you know, shot clock 35 is too long. And I've done this, and I've broadcast, obviously, basketball for a long time. You know, yeah, at some point I'll reveal how many games I actually have done, but I'm not going to do it yet. And and when I started doing it, there was no shot clock. And then there was a transition time where every game they were experimenting with games as to how long the shot clock, 45-second clock, no three-point line. Three-point line, no 45-second shot clock. 45-second shot clock and a three-point line. They finally then ended up adopting both in 1986. Well, 45 was way too long. And then you get down, then they knocked it down to 35. It's been at 35 for a long time. The women have had it right the entire time at 30 seconds, and they should have it at 30 seconds. And I also said that the other part of the rule is that I would like to see would be on an offensive rebound, reset it at 20. Now, this is not something that's original in my mind. FIBA is going to be putting that in overseas, that they have a 24-second shot clock, that on offensive rebounds, it'll recycle at 14. You know, their thought being, you know, you'd get 10 seconds to bring the ball over half court. Well, you're already over half court. You're already down at the basket.
I like
you
that idea.
You don't need the full. I do, too. I think it's a great idea. So in college basketball, take the shot clock to 30, but on an offensive rebound, the shot clock should recycle to 20. You're already there. I think that promotes a little more pace to it. I've talked about the replay part. Look, I would like to see an additional replay person, you know, do one of two things. You have the technology today to either have somebody in the conference office at a centralized location where if something is in question, they can look at it on a big screen and can make a ruling. Or if you want to spend the money, do what they do in college football and have somebody on the scene with a technical advisor. I mean, you have the money. I mean, this is not a non-revenue sport. You've got revenue being produced in this sport. So I've talked about that part of it. You know, what do I think should be reviewed? Well, anything we talk about the final 2 minutes like they do now. The shot clock should always be something that is out there. It's not now, but it should be. And goaltending, if the ball hits the backboard or not. And I think each coach should get one challenge in a game. So if they think the ball went out of bounds, say, you know, the ball went out of bounds off of Kevin on the opposing team, and I think it went out of bounds and I'm going to get the ball underneath the basket on that call, I've got one challenge. I have to elect whether or not to spend my collateral then. Either way, it's an automatic timeout if I do. Even if the challenge is upheld, it is an automatic timeout because you already have a lot of timeouts built into the game. Okay? And they need to go through and determine whether hand checking should be allowed up front. I don't think it should be. I think you should be able to play defense with your feet and your hands, but your hands in a spot that's not touching the opposing player. And how much contact and what kind of contact is allowed in the post? Are you allowed on a lean in to put one arm bar in the back? Okay? Have one hand on them, but not be allowed in the post, but only have one, can't have two. And I think they need to take, you know, and make the arc a little bit wider underneath, too. I think they need to do certain things like that. That would be, you know, does it solve every problem? No, it doesn't solve every problem. But to me, the recycle on the clock to 20, you know, shot clock at 30, recycle on an offensive rebound to 20, picks up the pace of the game. Very much so.
You know, I agree with you on the shot clock, 100%. I think, and I know there were some people saying, you know, maybe they need to make the shot clock shorter. I don't think it needs to go much shorter. As a matter of fact, and I think I've said this when you've talked about the shot clock, I want to see a shot clock in high school. I know there's
shot clock should be in high school.
I know no there's doubt. An expense to schools because of that. I get the dollars and cents side of it, but I really would like to see a shot clock in high school. Now, 45 seconds is, to me, the ideal number in high school. Most times I see the ball in play and a shot off in 45 seconds. Is it a little more to work on? Is it, you know, it's going to be one more person working the shot clock, so it's going to be more money there. They have to pay somebody at the scorer's table. You have to put in a shot clock. You know, the officiating has to change slightly. I get all that. I understand the dollars and cents of it, but I think the game would benefit and the players would benefit when they go to the next level.
Yeah, I think 45 is too long, but but you do high school games, so yeah, I'm not going to dispute whether you think that's the right number a lot or not. I know in the college game, 45 was exponentially too long.
I just think at 45, you're not going to have any. The shot clock is going to speed things up a little bit, but still not force a bad shot in high school. And that's what you don't want to do. You don't want to force kids into shooting an off-balance shot because they've had to rush it or they haven't been able to run the set. Because let's face it, they're not going to run the sets as crisply as you do in college or in the NBA. So that's why I feel 45 seems to be good. I don't think that's going to make a huge impact in the game, but I think it will avoid taking the ball out and just dribbling it and dribbling it and dribbling it, especially at the end of periods when you're working at four periods instead of just a two-half situation as you do in college.
Okay. Interesting. I mean, I'll take you. You're around the high school game all the time, so if you tell me that you think that's the right number, then I'll go with you on it.
Well, you get to
because but you're around it all the time, and you know what the pace of play is, so that's why I trust you completely on that.
You get to the 2 or 3 minute mark, and it's a 5-point game, and a lot of teams will sit and hold the ball at half court. And yeah, I know that you can come up and you can defend, and then they start the count. I get it. But a lot of teams won't take that chance necessarily of coming out right away. So that's where I think it ends.
Yeah. I didn't see a call once this year at all, but I would eliminate the 5-second closely guarded. You have a shot clock. What do you need a closely guarded thing?
That's an excellent point. I'm not a big fan of that in the first place, but you're right. It's in there because there's no shot clock. That's a very good point.
All right. Yeah, and with the shot clock, see, but the college game still has it, Kevin. And my point is that it's one less thing. I can't stand with a guy that also the official, the count's on. I'm like, oh, for goodness sakes. There's a shot clock. What do I need the count to be on for? You know, and there's a shot clock. I mean, if he's trapped, he's trapped. I'm like, hey, fine. So, I mean, those are certain things that I would take a look at in the college game to get a little more pace into the college game. I know Patrick Chambers, for example, he wants a 24-second shot clock. I'll compromise at 30. I still want us to have at least a little separation in the college game. If I were to go in any direction at all in rules, it would be toward the international rules instead of the NBA rules. That would be more of my lean. But what FIBA is doing with an offensive rebound, that is, now I don't know how it's going to work, but boy, it sure does give you that forward-thinking feel, doesn't it? Yeah, I like that one. Now, maybe it doesn't work. I don't know.
Does the international game still use a key that actually widens at the basket?
Yeah, they have the trapezoid.
I didn't know how to describe it really, but I kind of like that too.
You know what? I never have liked it. And I know they say it will clean up post play and so forth. I've never liked that.
See, I think it's more of an advantage, I shouldn't say an advantage. I think it's more of a challenge then for the guys in the low positions to actually get the rebound and box out better.
Right.
Because there's the guys at the upper end of the key can actually come in there and get a rebound a little bit more often.
Right. Okay.
As far as on a free throw. I just think it forces you to box out better.
Okay. Yeah. Penn State could have used that in the Purdue game.
Well, think about it. Underneath the basket after a free throw, it gets jammed up pretty quick.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm not for it, but, I mean, that's certainly something that's debatable. I mean, you're for it, I'm not for it. But those are things that I would put in to get a little more pace into this game. And to me, it's not just the shot clock, you know, but also, again, how's the game called, too? That's the other part. How is the game called? No hand checking should be allowed up front. None. Zero. As far as I'm concerned. Woods, by the way, is really struggling at 9. Went way left on his tee shot into another fairway. He then tried to hit it back from that fairway toward the green at 9, and he hit a tree. And his third shot is about, I'd say he's about 75, 80 yards away in the pine straw.
Did he swing the club hard yet on a bad shot?
Yeah. No.
Okay. See, that's when you, to me, and the times that I've seen him struggle, that's when it's just about over. When he starts to take that really hard one-handed swing, you can see the frustration coming out. It's like, okay, he's done.
No, he took that kind of shot on 8 on a second shot trying to get the ball to the hole, and he got the ball to the grandstand. He ended up making birdie, so. All right, let's take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back, 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. Spring games, of course, coming up. Penn State's, they have 5 more practices, 4 more practices, and the 5th one being the blue-white game. They'll practice Saturday, then they'll practice Monday, Wednesday, and then Friday, and then they'll have the blue-white game. My guess is Friday. By the way, Ernie Els is now the new leader at 600 par. The Friday practice, you're supposed to have 3 practices without pads, and I think there's always a general assumption the first 3 practices are without pads, and of course that's just a general assumption, that's not reality. My guess is that what they'll do is that they have the first 2 are without pads, and they've saved this 3rd one out. I think the 3rd one without pads is going to be the Friday before the blue white game, so a week from tomorrow. So I think they'll go pads. They'll do a lot of hitting, I think, on Saturday. They'll do the same thing Monday, same thing Wednesday. And then I think they'll skip the pads and do that one without pads on Friday, then play the blue-white game. So that's where they are. Now, they made a lot of progress during the spring. This has been a really good spring for them in a lot of ways. Really good spring.
Bucknell actually I'm sorry, Steve. I just want to drop in that Bucknell actually has about 6 more practices. Their spring game set for Friday, April 24th at Christie.
Oh, good. All right. Yeah. Friday night. Like that. Well, Penn State started a little bit later. You have to get it done in 30 days. And that's where Penn State's clock is right now. But they've got a lot done so far. There's no question. One of the areas that really helps is that they have depth on this football team. And they have the freshmen on this football team bring a lot of speed and quickness to the plate at a lot of different positions. Corner, safety, linebacker, wide receiver, running back. There's a lot more jump at the running back spot than I've seen here in a long time. A lot more jump. And they've got two kids coming in. One of them can also really move, too. Final half hour coming up. Erdiel's the leader at the Masters at 6 under par here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. The leader at the Masters is Ernie Els, still on the course at 6 under par. Jordan Spieth at 5 under. Phil Mickelson done at 2 under today. Rory McIlroy done at 1 under. Tiger Woods, very much up and down. He is at 1 over par now, playing 10. But just having Woods back out there changes the tone of the golf tournament right away, even a major like the Masters. You feel like when he's not there, you're missing something. Well, you're not missing anything with him back out there. He's a draw one way or the other. Whether he's playing great and the train is rolling down the tracks at great speed, you sit back and go, wow, look how fast that train's going. Or there are those moments where it derails, like, wow, look at the derailment. So by the way, slice of history today. 150 years ago today at Appomattox.
I was actually out there about 3 weeks ago. We made our trip to Virginia. We stopped by the courthouse and the historical area.
I thought you were going to tell everybody that you were there. Jordan Spieth has tied Ernie Els. They're both at 6 under par.
You know, it's funny. It Appomattox is literally, you know, in the middle of nowhere as far as location. But it originally started as a stagecoach stop between Richmond and Lynchburg and the western part of Virginia.
I'm sure they have a gift shop. All right.
Well, the... Not a whole lot there right now.
I'm sure. Phillies and Red Sox tonight, third and final game of that series. Kansas City leads the White Sox 4-1, bottom of the eighth inning. Cincinnati beat the Pirates 3-2 to complete a sweep of that series. Let's see. Yankees play Toronto tonight. Mets beat Washington 6-3. Padres and Giants play at 6:40. It's pretty limited here on baseball today. Coming up in the NBA, Chicago's at Miami. Portland with Tim Frazier will play at Golden State. And Tim has played, by the way, for Portland. He has played. And thus, Tim Frazier will be eligible to be on the playoff roster anytime they wish. NHL coming down to the last two games. Bruins in the playoff hunt there at Florida, down at Broward County. Ottawa in the thick of it. They play at Madison Square Garden against the Rangers. Detroit's at Montreal. The Minnesota Wild will be at Nashville coming up tonight. It is the Blackhawks at St. Louis and the LA Kings up at the Saddle Dome to take on the Calgary Flames. So that is the story tonight in sports. The Phillies will play the Red Sox tonight. The Pirates have already lost and been swept by the Cincinnati Reds.
Tony from Shemokin Online wanted to chat with you, Steve.
Tony, how are you today?
Oh, I was good until I heard the news report at the bottom of the hour about Penn State settling with some more victims.
It was an 18-6 vote, I believe.
One of the victims... from what I've read, is the one that claimed he had lunch with Paterno and Sandusky after 2005.
Okay. I don't know any details. So.
Yeah. And, I mean, one of them was supposedly 8 or 9 years old when he was allegedly abused. Why does Penn State settle so quick? I mean, I don't care if it was a dollar.
That's one I can't answer. It's something you'll have to ask the Board of Trustees yourself, because I'm not obviously privy to enough information to give an answer that would be correct.
But I mean, can they keep coming up, keep appearing? I mean, is it ever going to end? It's almost like no one has a backbone. Say enough is enough.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. It's disgusting. These other schools, you hear they have a problem, they at least fight back. But that's what ruined my day, hearing that story.
Well, I was hoping maybe the show turned your day around.
The show's great. It's the news report. I mean, just don't start talking about curling or anything like that.
Tony,
it's not curling season.
And you know what? And here's one for you. It won't be until they go to Korea.
Not curling season.
What gets me, though, is this one guy, one alleged victim, had lunch with Paterno and Sandusky. Now, you settle with this guy. What does that do? That gives him credibility. The whole thing is beyond nuts. Curling or not, I don't know. The whole thing's nuts.
I
just wish it would end.
I don't recall the two adults having any kind of lunch whatsoever after 2000.
That's ever. Pretty much the story that I've been hearing. And it just never happened. But yet, the Board of Trustees decide to settle it. Unbelievable. Have a good day.
Thank you, Tony.
Yep, see ya. Bye.
Appreciate it. All right, Of course, we'll talk a lot more football coming up next week. Ernie L. still at 6 under par. Yeah. And Ian Jordan Spieth leading. Now, has your app brought you to Tiger Woods at Amen Corner yet?
No, but I just watched Spieth put one to the right of 13, I believe it was. That trio... two of them right now are in the trees to the right. Matter of fact, when you have two of the three point to the right and yell four, that's usually a bad sign.
Yes, it is.
But no, I don't think he's gotten there yet.
No, Woods is a 10. He just came out of the bunker.
It seems like play is a little slow.
Well, it is golf. Now, I like to play at a rather brisk pace. I mean, I can play, if I'm out there myself, I can play 9 holes in an hour and 15 minutes.
You know, it's the 3 practice swings, then you realign to the ball, then you step back, and then you go hit the ball. Listen, at the level they're playing on day 1, 2 practice swings, line yourself up, hit the ball, move on.
Yes, but what if the spoke of the windmill is coming down at just the wrong time?
Well, then you're just going to have to figure out a way to time it better and not take as many practice swings.
Well, you got to remember, too, when they get up to the ball, you know, there may be somebody up in the green, too.
Yeah, but this even happens at the tee. I'm just saying, some of these threesomes are a little slow.
Well, this the PGA Tour does make a mistake with this, though. And they will put a group on the clock. And what may be frustrating is that there's one guy that's the problem, and the other two all of a sudden get penalized because every, you know, because the group is on the clock. And you're looking around and going, look, I walk up and hit the ball, okay? Bob over there does, you know, takes four practice swings.
Yeah, why am I getting punished because I just happen to be in a slow twosome or threesome?
Slow group. I mean, I'm moving. No, a lot of times I can play 18 holes of golf. I can usually get it done in like 3:15. And that's with playing with in a group. And we're not playing speed golf. I mean, let's start with this. We have carts when we do that. All right. Obviously, we have a cart. But still, we can get around the course 3:15, 3:20 to play 18 holes of golf. You know, now you feel like the one area, and golf knows they need to improve this. They know they need to improve the pace on courses out there. Because there was a point in time, and I've been to some charity golf tournaments where I've played 6 hour rounds of golf. 6 hours? I don't want to dedicate 6 hours to doing that. I mean, does anybody? That's why when we've talked about length of games just as a length of a game, for example, we're talking about baseball's pace of play. Baseball needs to get the length of the game back to the 245 area, right in that neighborhood. Hockey, you go to an NHL game, it's 215. You go to an NBA game, 2.5.
Listen,
what's happened is baseball's warped to 3:15, 3:20. They need to get it back to 2:45. Now, football's 3 hours in thereabouts. College football's a little longer, but and people may not like this proposal, but they need to cut halftime back. They need to cut it back from 20 minutes to 12. And I'm not kidding about that. And I know there are a lot of people that love the blue band and so forth. Look, the blue band can still play out there. That's great. Right? You got plenty of time to do that. But you got to cut it back from 20 to 12. 20 minutes is too long for halftime in a college game. The NFL's 12 minutes. And that's plenty of time for the blue band to go out, do its deal, and comfortably get their show done. Because the blue band does not take up the full 20 minutes. They don't. But they need to cut college halftime back from 20 minutes to 12. The NFL does it. People want to see action. Now, the blue band does a great job. And the other part, too, is that I know it's great that bands travel on the road and so forth, but cut it back to 12 and only one band plays.
Well, you know what they do in high school? In high school, both bands play, but they split it up in pregame and halftime.
Yeah, but that needs to be cut back, too. The NFL's the one's got it right, 12 minutes. And halftime's 20 minutes too, isn't it?
In high school? In high school? No. It's 12 to 15, depending on if there's a ceremony of some sort.
College is 20. Absurd. Got to cut it back.
I think it's technically 12, but they add another 3 minutes when both teams come out so that because there's a mandatory stretching period.
Right. I understand that. Yeah. But I think they've got to do that. And that's the one thing that's always struck me. It's like, look, mackerel. Halftime's a long time. I mean, college basketball's 15. They had to cut that back to 10.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think the home band plays in the pregame, and the away band plays at halftime. And that usually takes care of the problem.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying it's a problem.
No, but it takes care of the elongated halftime. You don't need it to get both bands in. This way, both bands still play.
Well, 90% of the college games I do, there's only one band.
True.
So, I mean, every once in a while, the Penn State Blue Band will travel to the Ohio State game, or they might. They're allowed to go one time a year, once. So that one time might be Rutgers, or that one time might be Maryland, or that one time might be Ohio State, or it might be Michigan, you know, something like that. I mean, but they're only allowed to go one time a year. They do send a smaller band out there that doesn't perform in the field, smaller group. But that would be one of the things I would do right away. I'd cut it from 20 minutes down to 12. Like, let's go. And that's not an anti-band thing. That's a let's get back to action thing and still let the band have it do its deal. I mean, they got a lot of time in the pregame. And let them play more during the game, too. It's an interesting dynamic. You really need more university band at a football game, and you actually need more can music at a basketball game. They're different dynamics. Come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, let me guess. It's Hyundai.
It's Hyundai!
Hyundai!
It's a month-long celebration, 100 years in the making at Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
Hyundai!
In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Save over $11,000 on new 2014 Genesis R-Spec 400-horsepower luxury sedan. Celebration savings with 0% financing for 72 months on all new 2015 Hyundai, Hyundai. Sonata Hybrids and $1,000 in bonus cash. 10-year powertrain warranty coverage and 37-mile-per-gallon combined average equal unmatched value and savings. Celebration savings on all 2015 Elantra SE and Limiteds with 0% for 60 months and $1,000 in bonus cash. And, of course, a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. And 2015 Elantra starting at $16,988 plus tax and tags. This celebration is going on all month long only at your home for Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Check out our inventory 24-7 at sunburymotors.com.
All rebates to dealer with approved credit. Not all buyers will qualify. See dealer for complete details.
Jordan Spieth has finished at Amen Corner. He's made the turn to 14. He has birdied three of the last four holes. He is now the leader at 7 under par. Terry, thanks for waiting. Welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Yes, sir. Hey, I just want to say one thing about the halftime. I think it's too short. Apparently, you don't have to go to the restroom and stand in line. Thank you, sir.
I understand. That's a good point, but you know what? It's 20 minutes too long. You know, I want to get back to the game.
Terry, look at it on the bright side.
That's one man's opinion.
Just look,
I gave you mine.
Look at it on the bright side. At least at Beaver Stadium, you have to wait in line, but they're actually working, not like in Chicago.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, appreciate that. I understand that, but you know what? The NFL does have it right. You know, Terry does make a really good point, except I think you got to get back to the game. And I think 20 minutes is too long.
Shorter halftime, more restrooms.
They should have more restrooms. That's one of the things that they should do, that when they finally get the TV money rolling in from the new contract, is that there's going to have to be some work done on Beaver Stadium. There's no question. And part of the work that has to be done is you have to have more restrooms at Beaver Stadium so a guy like Terry, for example, isn't standing there waiting in a line and there's more access. And I know what the laws are because Ruth Rudy is the one that fought that in public buildings there have to be more women's restrooms than men's restrooms. I understand that because she's the one that fought for that. But you need to have more across the board at every level of that stadium. And that's one of the things they'll need to do is to put more in, because I don't want a guy like Terry standing in line for about 15, 20 minutes at halftime. I want to be able to go in there and have plenty of, you know, go in there, take care of what he has to do, get something to eat, get back to his seat, because halftime's going to be about 12, 13 minutes. And I think he makes a good point, and I think it's also a point that needs to be brought out that they need more restrooms and better branding of concessions at Beaver Stadium. They also need better branding of concessions at the Jordan Center, too. It just can't be, oh, it's a concession stand. Look, I've been in a lot of places. Hey, they do a great job of branding their concession stand, so that makes you feel like you're at an Ohio State game. Makes you feel like you're at a Wisconsin game. And they do a great job at that. And they have to do a much better job here of getting more of those in place and more restrooms in place and also a better branding within the stadium itself.
And I support more Dollar Dog Nights.
Sure.
That was the best part. That was the best part of Penn State Wisconsin basketball. I went up, they said, by the way, it's Dollar Dog Night. Ooh, bonus. Those are good hot
dogs. But Terry does make a really good point, and I agree with him. More restrooms are needed in the stadium. No question. I think he's dead on with that. And because you need to be, when you're going to have a 107,000 seat stadium, you have to have a stadium that's able to accommodate a lot of people that need the restroom at once. And they need more. And they need to take a long, hard look at that stadium as to what they need to do to make sure in the 21st century you have 21st century amenities, and that's one of them. Simple as that. And I think it's interesting that, and I did this in the fall, and maybe we'll do this again, where I asked, what can they do to make your experience better? Well, maybe that's one of the things Terry, for example, wants to have. You know? I want, more bathrooms in the stadium, more restrooms, and a larger number of them. That's perfectly fine. No issue with that. They said that when the new TV contract comes up, they need to take a long, hard look at Beaver Stadium. Want to make sure that it's a great fan experience for everybody to be in there so you get the most for your dollar beyond what's happening on the field.